It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. So many reasons why I bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great odds and markets for the MLB, NBA, NHL, PGA Tour, and so much more. They've got awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook, and it's easy to use, safe and secure, and you get your winnings fast. It's also fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same-game parlay, and you can discover the most popular same-game parlays each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ so they know we sent you. That's J-A-N-D-J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Tuesday, May 31st, and we've got our finals matchups. It's going to be Warriors-Celtics. We're going to break down Game 7 and talk about the finals, as well as some nonsense at the end of the podcast. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good buddies, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Well, Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbles?
How's it going?
Have it good.
This should not be funny anymore.
you get like, I don't, people don't see because of the, you know, listening to podcasts with your ears, but you get the most genuine little kid smile on your face whenever Tyler does this.
It tickles me to death.
It's my favorite.
It tickles me.
That's why it's why I haven't changed the intros for you guys at all.
It still tickles me. I'm like, why is this still funny? But
I don't know, but it is. All right. Warriors-Celtics. Celtics win game 7 against the Heat. What were you guys' thoughts on the game? Did it go the way I was rooting for the Heat like crazy, and it just didn't seem like they were really in it until the end of the game.
Yeah, it seemed to be. It was one of those frustrating games for, I'm sure, the Heat players and Heat fans where Celtics jumped out to an early lead. They went up by like 15, and then just they'd never trailed at all the whole game. You know, led from whistle to whistle. And you know, the Heat, they got close. They got it to within two at times, but then they just could never get over that hump. But I mean, It was a well-fought battle by the Heat. There was some ugly basketball going on this series. I'm glad it's over. I'm looking forward to the finals now.
Towards the end of it, like, I want everybody off my fucking screen, especially Kyle Lowry's old motherfucking flip-flopping, throwing limbs around ass shit. It reminded me of Kill Bill when she went in there with the fucking sword and there were limbs everywhere. And she was like, you can leave, but your limbs are mine. Like, bro, it was fucking disgusting. I think him and fucking Marcus Smart getting on the same court should be illegal. They should never allow that ever again, bro. I mean, I feel like in this particular situation, the Celtics wanted to lose less than the fucking Heat wanted to lose. It was like a lose-off. And like that, the shot, like, as well as the flop-off of the century with fucking Marcus Smart. It was a bunch of shit that didn't involve basketball. But, I mean, I'm happy for Tatum. I don't know how they really have a chance, or if they do, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it too much, but yeah, man, I'm glad this series is over, like Tyler was saying, man. Like, this just wasn't – there were good moments of basketball, but it just wasn't good basketball in general.
Before we move on from how trash Kyle Lowry is now, did you see the tweet from Twitter user Bex Welker?
No, please read this.
Okay, yes. It's it's a Kyle Lowry ass joke okay. here. So Kyle Lowry's ass slowly took over his entire body and made him ass. Sort of a Venom situation.
Somebody said this nigga Zach said he had a front butt. I was like, you can see how thick he is from the front. He was like, yeah, he got front butt. I'm like, I have literally never heard front butt.
He got the fupa. He's got
it's
the
not
fupa.
Fupa. Front butt is different, apparently. That's what Zach said. Because I said the same thing. I'm like, fupa, no, front butt. But apparently he can feel jeans from the front and back at the same time.
Kyle Lowry and Marcus Smart on the court at the same time is like when 2 8-year-olds are playing superheroes and they're like really selling it. So it's like one guy fake punches and the other guy takes 40 steps backwards, like wah, 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 and he comes back and hits him and the other one goes wah, 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 wah. It's just like that on an NBA basketball court. It's not aesthetically pleasing.
Marcus Smart at least will give you a bucket here and there. I think he had like 20, you know what I'm saying? He has to get some big shots. Kyle Lowry hit a big shot. You know, a big shot that like during their run. But my G, like, he's not even playing basketball anymore. Like, he has become since that charge he took in the All-Star, that's all he does is bait and charge, bro. Like, that's his whole game
now. That was
now.
The turning point.
You feel me? Like, there was a point when Tatum was guarding him, and like he didn't even try to make the shot. He just fucking flung his body, happened to make the shot, but it was more effort into actually flopping than actually making the bucket. The bucket was second to him. He wanted the foul. It's like, bro, it's ugly basketball. And I get like going to the bucket and drawing contact, all that. That's within the game. But when you're like, bro, he tripped and turned the ball over and wasted a timeout at one point trying to flop and draw a foul and bait a foul. Like, you know, in the end of the game, it was a big old. They had one timeout and 9 minutes left because this motherfucker's out here flopping, you know, trying to draw fouls and shit unnecessarily. It's ridiculous.
God bless him.
Tarnishing the integrity of the game. Bro, with this
right. It's not basketball
with this
anymore.
Malarkey.
Right.
You said malarkey.
Bit of a controversial moment late in the game, down two. Jimmy Butler coming down the court and pretty much, I mean, a lot of space in front of him with Al Horford sagging way off. There's been some debate about whether or not Horford was trying to bait him into taking a three in that moment. I think it was 11 to 13 seconds left, something like that. Jimmy pulled. Didn't have great balance. He was definitely leading forward when he got the shot off. Missed it. Celtics get the rebound. That's kind of it right there. I know you both had thoughts about that shot. Tyler, did you think that was a good shot? Or do you think he should have driven on Horford, tried to tie the game up, you know, see what happens from there?
It was an enjoyable shot. I enjoyed it. And that's all that matters to me. Like, as someone who was not invested in the Miami Heat winning that game, you know, I'll leave it up to Heat fans and to, you know, the Heat players, Heat coaches or whatever to you know, deliberate on if that was the right play. But I enjoyed it. It was exhilarating. My fucking jaw dropped when he took it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt alive when that shit, when he let that shit fly. And that's all that I watch sports for. Those moments where, like, if he would have hit that shit, we would have, the whole fucking NBA fan base would have detonated. You know what I mean? He gave it a try, but to Jimmy's credit, he played 48 minutes that game. You know what I mean? I'm sure he wanted to get that shit over with. He's got a knee that's not 100%. And Spo, you know, in the press, he was like, you know, that's Jimmy. He's going to go for the win. And I love that about him. And that's all that I think we need to hear on that.
The same thing that got Jimmy to get that 47 points in game six is the same reason he shot that. You can't have one without the other. He digs deep to places that other players just can't dig. There's no way Jimmy's supposed to have the highs he has. You know what I mean? But he's just Jimmy. He finds ways to get shit done. I don't think it was a good shot in the sense of, is that the best basketball play? He had fucking Horford on his heels. You know what I mean? Jimmy's going to the bucket. Probably can get a foul or get the bucket. One or the other. You know, he ain't leaving the cup butt naked. You know what I mean? But was it a good shot for Jimmy? Yes. I think it was the right shot for Jimmy. We all thought that was going in. And like Tyler said, he felt alive. That was the basketball equivalent of a line of coke. You know what I mean? A line of that girl. I was like, oh, shit, he shot that shit. And we all thought it was going in. It was the best part of maybe the series, definitely that fucking game seven. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, should he have shot it? Maybe not. But I think Jimmy has done enough where he can do what he wants to in that moment. And even though he's not the best three-point shooter, I think 24%, you know what I'm saying, for the season. And I think he shot 18 off the dribble pull-up, you know what I'm saying, threes this year. He's hit six of them, you know, which is, you know, decent. But no, I mean, Jimmy can do what he wanted to do. I mean, he's proven to be superheroes in those moments. And I see why he would shoot that. So I'm not mad at it at all.
Someone tweeted at us, and I think this is sort of where I'll just leave my thoughts, that Brian Windhorst's story on the game has just got nothing but quotes from Celtics players saying they were, you know, shitting themselves when they saw him pull the shot. You know, I mean, it's like, that's it. It's a little different because, you know, the way you describe Jimmy John,
the way you describe the turkey Lulu sub.
Jimmy John's a trash. Lulu. Too. Very bad sandwiches, dog. Garbage.
yikes. The way you described Jimmy Butler, John, was a little bit like, it's a little bit like the way we talk about Russ, right? Like, his willpower, his drive is a benefit in so many ways that you just kind of have to accept the ways in which it's a drawback. And, you know, if the difference is, if Russ takes a three, the defense wanted him to do that. If Jimmy takes a three, they did not want him to do that. They were stressed as fuck. So,
and then going off of what Jimmy does in the regular season is ridiculous. Those are two different niggas, okay? Who we see in the playoffs and his percentage, that don't fucking matter, all right? We're not seeing these 40-point games consistently like we do in the playoffs in the regular season. So what he did, we got to judge him off of what we've seen, especially this series. And, I mean, after game six and game one, and I also want to apologize. Everything I fucking said about Jimmy was wrong. Every time. When I said he was fucking underrated, when I said he was good, he would prove to stink after it. When I said he was a fucking, when I said he, you know, he wasn't a superstar, he had a superstar performance. So let me just shut the fuck up. The universe is trying to tell me something. I'm listening. When it comes to Jimmy fucking Butler, I'm going to shut the fuck up. Good job, Jimmy. Love to see it. You know what I mean? Hey, you know. But.
I think I saw someone on Twitter make the point that it had Mike Breen missed the game because he had COVID. If Mike Breen had been there, the shot probably goes in. It just, there was no one to yell bang. And so as such, the tree fell in the forest, but no one heard it. So it didn't.
What happened to Van Gundy? What was going on with Van Gundy? Was like, did y'all hear him? Did you hear him, Tyler, like talking yesterday?
No. Well,
I don't know. Like, his voice just sounded like, I was like, this nigga got the vid. That's a, you remember you hear that?
Yeah. I mean, I was watching that shit on mute.
Okay.
You know,
smart.
With music playing.
Smart,
that's usually
man
how
I taste.
I was high as hell listening to music.
That's how I usually be, man. When I can. Smart.
Where does Jimmy Butler fit in? You know, I think this was something we talked about quite a bit with, like, James Harden, you know, that there's certain guys who successfully have gamed things such that they can be great regular season players and their game doesn't necessarily travel to the playoffs as well. Jimmy, I mean, I know John doesn't want to talk about it. Jimmy has a playoff exclusive game. Like if you're talking about you're picking guys in the NBA to be on your team and you're asking, is it the regular season or the playoffs? And it's the playoffs. He's got to be pretty high up on the list of, well, he's going to keep us in the game, even if he's got to play 48 minutes, which I saw he has more playoff games with 48 minutes logged over the last 10 years than I think the rest of the NBA combined.
I think he asked for that, too. So he probably asked for that. Like, don't take me out this fucking game. He probably told, because I don't see Spo just doing that. Like within the game, it doesn't make sense. Spo's he's extremely intelligent.
So how do you evaluate? You know, I mean, that's what all of NBA fandom is about, right? How do you evaluate that? How do you put that in a list or state his place in the tiers of NBA players when his real value is that for the games that matter the most, he's going to bring it the most? Like, how do you put that in? You know, with like we used to talk about James Harden won an MVP. Playing in the regular season well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So how do you evaluate a Jimmy Butler's skill set?
I mean, I think he's a prime example of that. You know, we need to wait till the postseason to write, you know, our stories on certain players, on all players, I'd say. Because, I mean, we can go back to 2016. Like, I was, you know, I'm a Bron stan, but I was like, yo, Steph might have took the league right now. This might be Steph's league. I said that 2016. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then we saw what happened in the finals. I was like, nah, the King's still the King. You know what I mean? So I think that we probably need to, you know, sit on our opinions, our, you know, perception of players until, you know, the postseason wraps up. Because, you know, lots of players, you know, they take it to a different level. Like Draymond said, flagship volume podcast employee Draymond said. You know,
hey, company man Tyler, company man Dragonfly Jones.
Right. There's 82 game players and there's 16 game players, you know, like Draymond said, and Jimmy's for sure a 16 game player. Like, you know, and I said this myself, like during the regular season, I always do this. I'm like, yo, I think Jimmy might be done. And then he goes fucking crazy in the postseason. So I'm not doing
every
that
year.
Shit anymore. Yeah.
Right.
I think the thing with Jimmy is, though, he's a Robin playing Batman. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that tweet they were saying, like,
he's Nightwing. He's Nightwing.
He's like
grown up Robin.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Cool. They said Chris Middleton's the LeBron James or Paul George's. No, that's Jimmy Butler. That's Jimmy Butler. You know what I mean? And that's why I was chuckling because I was thinking about that damn tweet. Still a fucking banger. Such a banger. But no, that's Jimmy Butler. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's why it's not sustainable. I think why I was wrong when I said he was good and when I said he was bad is because he has to play that role and he's not, you know what I mean, like 40, 29, 6, 8, 14, 47, and then 30. Like, those are right. That's a motherfucking right. Roller coaster ride.
Some
it's
swings.
Not sustainable. You know what I'm saying? For him to have to do that. So I think that's what he is. He's a Robin that can play Batman every so often. He's a substitute Batman every now and then. You know what I'm saying? So
he's sure. Nightwing. I know you try to brush us off that geek shit as quick
as possible.
Yeah, but I
don't possible, know what the fuck. Bro.
Just trust me when I say that saying he's Nightwing is a perfect analogy and response to your comment.
I trust you when it comes to all that shit. You know what I mean? I just had to keep speaking and finish out my statement, and I know who the fuck Nightwing is, okay?
Nightwing is a grown-up Robin who's like, yeah, he's a little more edgier than Robin. You know, Robin was out there in that little weak-ass red and gold, green leotard and shit. Nightwing is out here in like dark-ass fucking turquoise.
I know the bangers, bro. I'm top 40s when it comes to like, you know, fucking reading comics. I just read like the main shits, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Y'all got deep into that shit, so. I definitely trust
Nightwing,
y'all.
Not a top tier character. You heard it here first from John.
Not to me. I knew like the top. Oh, I'm a casual, guys. I apologize. Okay. I'm vaccinated casual, but a casual still. You know what I'm saying? A casual still.
Oh, shit. Let's talk about the Celtics. As much as it pains me to do so, I think producer Jackson is literally clocking how long it took me to direct the conversation to the Celtics. But I've seen some speculation. I think it's a fair point. Tyler was talking about this on Twitter. You got to put this run to the finals for Tatum and the Celtics up there.
Hey, like I said, you know, I think Dirk has the best playoff, the best path to a ring ever. He went through, you know, Brandon Roy. He went through Kobe. He went through, you know, KD, Russ, Harden. you know, and then he went through, you know, Bron, Wade, Bosh. Bro, if Tatum goes through KD, Giannis, Jimmy, and Steph, we might have to have some conversations, man, because that is a hell of a run. That is a hell of a run. And the thing is, you know, like all of these series for Boston, you know, have been like, you know, besides the fucking sweep of the Nets, they made light work of them. Last two ones went seven. And Jason, you know, showed up big when they needed him. So we'll see. If he knocks Steph off, like I said, there's going to be a conversation to be had.
And I think it's very – I don't think it's likely, but I think it's very doable, being that we talked about this in a group chat. You know what I'm saying? We love Steph. Steph's a great player. You have fun watching him. But in the finals, he has some stinkers. You know what I'm saying? He's liable to have at least one, probably two.
He's going to give you one 14-point game.
You know what I'm saying? Where it's like who the,
2 of 13.
Where he's looking like Eric Snow out there. And we got to be like, who the fuck is this? You know what I mean? But like, you feel me? But yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, Tatum, you see that fadeaway he hit? You see that fadeaway with 2 seconds left? Jab step fake. Bro, that motherfucker, sheesh. That shit was boop. But yeah. We'll see. I feel bad for Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown has such some good moments. We ain't talking about Jaylen Brown going through the gauntlet. We talking about Jason Tatum. And that's what's wrong. That's what's tough about being a Robin. You know what I'm saying? Nobody remembers a great game.
Jaylen Brown's been in the lab with Bob Cousy in the offseason getting his handle right.
Bro, Jaylen Brown, the loosest handle. I mean, it's not even just like the handle's loose. He's just sloppy in decision-making too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but he's just so athletic, and that allows him to get away with that, and he's so strong. But I mean, when he goes into traffic, bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was holding my breath. I was like, this motherfucker here. Jesus Christ. Ain't no telling what's going to happen. You feel me?
I just love the idea of, like, we always hear about guys working with, like, modern NBA legends, you know? And it's like, you hear about Shaq working with Hakeem. Like, oh, shit. I just love the idea of, like, you pull someone out of the crypt, like a player from the 1940s, and you're like, oh, we were working on the regular crossover on that two flat-footed crossover.
Hey, he needs to start with the fundamentals.
They don't know what to
Jaylen
do.
Jaylen Brown needs to start with the fundamentals. Start with the basic two-ball drill, and we'll build you up, buddy. See, one high, one low, little double figure eight. We'll figure it out. You know what I'm saying? But we need to talk about what's it? Bam. You know, Bam, again, game three, he looked like fucking Olajuwon. You feel me? And then we just didn't quite see that, Bam. And we're talking about, like, you know, Embiid, like, people are like, get Embiid there, give him another superstar. Bam is supposed to be, you know, he's not there yet, but we wanted to see flashes of that, you know what I mean? And I think, I was hoping Bam would take a step this series. I mean, even though I like good basketball, I'm a fan of Bam, even though I was rooting for Tatum. I wanted to see him take a step, and I don't know if he took that step yet. I don't know when we're going to get there, but I mean, I think that's why they haven't, you know, went out and grabbed somebody, like, not just Tyler Hero or whatever. Like, we talk about that, why they didn't get Harden, but they think Bam's going to be the person to take that step, and it didn't quite happen. Yeah, we saw a moment of it. Game, was it game three? Sheesh.
Here's the most frustrating, and I will say he did have 25 points. He did have 25 and 11 in game seven. But here's his seven game points log: 10, 6, 31, 9, 18, 6, 25.
Same roller coaster, dog.
So he averaged 15 points a game, but he was scoring 6 or he was scoring 30. Like, that's difficult, even for, you know, Eric Spoelstra, even for Jimmy Butler, even for the constants, where you know that there's effort, there's intelligence, there's great coaching. That's difficult to plan around because it's all about repeatability and matchups when you get into the playoffs. If you're going 30 and then 6, how do you build a game plan around
for
that?
For sure.
You know what I mean? You can't say it's just a game plan. I mean, a lot of that has to be effort. The games we scored 6 points, he took 6 shots, he took 5 shots, he took 6 shots in 3 of these games. That's crazy.
And we can talk about
– and a lot of times he's not looking to – he's not looking to. He's in the high post. He's got the ball. He's looking back at the three-point line. He's not considering taking a shot. And then there's other games, like you said, he looks like he's the second coming.
I mean, we're talking about, like, how good Horford's playing and all that shit and how he's playing the Draymond role, but he's still fucking out Horford, bro. Bam, you're supposed to chew that motherfucker and spit him the fuck out. Don't give me, he's playing great. I don't give a fuck. It's Al fucking Horford. He's 35. You know what I'm saying? He has a knee and a half. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, you are fucking Bam. You're stronger. You're more athletic. You know, I would say you're more skilled. You know, like, why do we not see that consistently? So, like, I don't, there's no excuses for that. And I love Bam. Go ahead.
That man won a ring in Florida with Joakim Noah 16 years ago. like Bam, you were like 4 years old back then, bro. Like that dude is supposed to be food.
Food.
Now,
food.
Yeah.
Food.
Okay, this is a little bit sensitive, but I have to ask you guys about this because I've seen a wide array of Twitter opinions, and I'm curious where you guys come down on it. Jason Tatum sent a text to Kobe Bryant's old cell phone number on the day of the game and then posted it on social media afterwards. I've seen everything from this is the most emotional thing I've ever seen to this is the corniest thing I've ever seen. I've seen all kinds of reaction. What did you guys think when you saw that post of his? John, I know you're a big Jason Tatum guy. What were you thinking?
I didn't know Kobe. I'm not judging anybody that actually knew the man. I was hurt. Still can't believe it. To be completely honest, I tore my room up, bro. I was just mad at the universe. You know what I'm saying? For allowing this to happen, especially how it happened. So I'm not judging any person on how they're dealing with this shit. You know what I'm saying? Especially not somebody that fucking knows this man. You know what I mean? Or knew this man. So yeah, man. I said knows. I can't even say knew. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense to me. But right. Yeah, like, so for me, it's not for me to judge or to say anything about it. I think people should shut the fuck up and let people grieve how they fucking grieve. That's how I feel. I can tell the other motherfuckers that, you know, that's judging this man to shut the fuck up. That's how I feel about it. But it's not for me to make that decision or, you know, especially not vocalize it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that was his friend. That was his mentor. That was who he idolized growing up. You know what I mean? Like, people who are shitting on that, I mean, everyone's always, it's just this whole, we're in this whole fucking phase now where everyone calls everything clout chasing. Like, shut the fuck
please.
Up. You know what please. I mean? Please shut the fuck up.
Nigga.
Yeah. Right? But yeah, you know, like I said, that was his friend, his mentor, his idol. Yeah, he can fucking shoot him a text. He's not here anymore. If, like, if that's how he grieves, that's how he copes, let him have right. it, man.
And if he wants to, like,
well, I think you get,
him, like, if he wanted to, like, show love, like, yo, you know, maybe he felt like Kobe was there with him or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's a way to, like, you know, paying homage, you know, to somebody that he looked up to. If that's what you want to do, let him do that shit. And I'm not saying that because it's Tatum. I'm saying that if it's anybody, you know what I mean? It's not for me to judge
right.
that.
Right. Well, I think you guys hit on exactly what I thought people got wrong in the criticisms of this, which is I think there's people who are criticizing this as part of his game performance, whereas it's you guys hit it exactly on that. This is part of a grieving process.
Yeah.
I called my grandma's phone before I had like a big job interview after she passed away. That wasn't part of the job interview. That was me missing being able to talk to my grandma before those moments. You know right. what I mean? And that's what I saw too. And I think people were thinking of it as, you know, we're just so used to seeing into everyone's lives, people forget you're not actually seeing into their heads. And so we see, you know, like happened with the Suns or whatever. You see after a game, you see some clips of what the pregame was like or something. And I think people felt like that, like this was part of the Game 7 coverage, as opposed to someone basically just saying, I miss my friend. Mm-hmm. He was on my mind today. This is what I was thinking about. You know,
I mean,
and for Jason Tatum, a text is listen to the voicemail. It's what right, like that's the communication. Like, it's not a. It's I don't know. I agree. The clout chasing thing is
that's
like,
disgusting.
That's, so fucking
that's
stupid,
gross.
Bro.
That's
gross.
It all comes back to how sports fandom is a disease. How sports fans are some of the worst people on the fucking planet. Because because seriously, like imagine if there was like a law student out there or something who texts their deceased mentor. You know, I did it after they passed the bar or something. Right? Like no one would say, "Oh, are you clout chasing?" You know, it's, like I said, fans are fucking idiots. I hate them. The worst part of sports.
I think like
fuck them.
Like 80% of the stories I wrote for Yahoo were how fucking trash fans were. I just, bro, it's disgusting.
Right.
It's disgusting. And also, we can just shut the fuck up and not talk about shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, let them, like, you know what I'm saying? I just, like, we don't have to discuss everything. What we should discuss is Udonis fucking Haslam and his reaction, you know, like, dropping to his knees. No! Like, he was fucking Jimmy out there playing 48 minutes. You know what I mean? Tyler, what'd you say about him on the call, you said?
Bro, that man was distraught. He was like, I threatened to beat Jimmy's ass so many times for nothing. For nothing.
Bro, like dog, just like that's funny. Let's lean towards that. That's but I mean when it comes to these type of things, bro, it's really disrespectful, honestly, for people to be voicing their opinions in this way.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go yard all summer long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on Tuesday MLB games. And the best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every home run. My pick for Tuesday's games, obviously Mookie Betts. They're going up against the Pirates, so he might hit three home runs. I don't know, but he's definitely going to hit one. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Head over to your FanDuel account or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code JANJ to pick your home run hitter. That's JANJ, J-A-N-D-J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $25. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG. All right, we are going to have a more in-depth finals preview. We'll have an episode out Thursday, like late morning, for you to listen to before finals start Thursday night. But let's just, we'll do our picks and all that stuff then. But just kind of first thoughts. I mean, This was, you know, look, I wanted the Heat to win because I'm not a fan of the city, Boston, or any of its sports teams. But as a basketball person, as someone who's on this podcast, this is what you want. West Coast, East Coast, new school, old school dynasties. Not that the Celtics obviously have won really almost anything in our entire lifetimes, but obviously they're one of the premier franchises in the history of the league. Steph, Clay, Draymond, the aging kind of superstars versus possibly one of the future faces of the league and Jason Tatum. Two great crowds. I mean, I think this is going to be a great finals, and hopefully it'll make up for the fact that the conference finals, as John said, really it was just the shot from Jimmy at the end of game seven was the only exciting thing
on
that
both sides.
Series.
On both sides.
So what are you, Tyler, what are your first thoughts just sort of looking at the series and, you know, what we're in for the next couple weeks?
I think it's going to be a good one. I think that the Celtics are going to give the Warriors trouble. I don't know if they're going to win it, but, you know, the Celtics, you know, for all the fucking brain farts that the Celtics have had this postseason, they haven't had any on the defensive end, really. You know what I mean? They're very good at playing team defense, playing one-on-one defense, playing on-ball defense. You know, they've got, you know, a bunch of tall, lanky, long guys out there who can give, you know, the opponents trouble. So I think the Celtics are going to make the Warriors sweat a bit.
Yeah, I think that, like, the defenders being so long and tall. Pause, bro. It just feels like a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You see, I went with lanky because I was like, long is just
so long.
Lanky's the word.
So long and wiry.
Struggle to handle their length.
Their length.
Sheesh. Struggles to handle their length.
We are children. But I mean, all the points Tyler made, I don't have to fucking reiterate what he said. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, you know, that, like, defensively they can give them trouble. And I think, like, bro, like, who's gonna guard Tatum? I mean, and also if you look at the second half of the season, the Celtics kind of turned it on and figured some shit out, right? And they've gone through a fucking gauntlet, a fucking, you know, beast. These, like, physical games. You know what I mean? Like, they just haven't got to move and do what they wanted to. They were playing physically. You know, playing real physical teams. The Warriors aren't that. You know, the Warriors are, I think, are a better team. But, I mean, and also with Steph, you know, having the chance of kind of, like, you know, the a little bit every so often. I don't know. We'll see. But it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun. I think this will be fun. I think hopefully this will be fun enough to make up for the conference championships.
Fingers crossed. I think there's a lot. I think – I'm not, you know, we don't do the bullshit like legacy talk. I'm not talking in that regard, but I do think there's a lot on the line for Steph. I'm not talking about like how he's remembered or whatever, but this is big. I mean, you're talking about a team that, you know, right or wrong, and we'll talk about it later in the week. I don't really think it's right, but definitely the mood is that the Warriors should come out here and run the finals, right? And there's high expectations for him. We've talked about the finals MVP shit. And as you guys said, like, this is the time of year when you remember that he's due for a game three where he scores 12 points, you know? So I'm really curious to see how he comes out. Cause it is also, if he comes out and he just is putting up 35 a game and he hit, you know, like he's hitting, that will change the way people talk about him and think about him, especially for them to have gone through the journey they've gone through to get back to this spot. I don't know. I'm curious to see how he holds up to all that. Banksy said he's the best athlete in human history when his team's up by 6 points.
Yeah, that's right? That's a hell of a point. That's a hell of a point. You know, he's much more comfortable in those moments. But like the stuff we saw,
he's a killer in those moments.
Evil.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't even think that's a knock. I just think we need to fucking.
It's not.
Yeah. We just need to redefine what we define as clutch. You know what I mean? Because if you're up by 6 points and you know, okay, it's time to put these motherfuckers to sleep. Let's get it. That's clutch too.
They don't play with their food.
You know what I mean?
Don't
that's
play
clutch
with his food,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
But I feel like the stuff we saw the first half of the season may have been the best step. I felt like, man, is this motherfucker better now? And then we saw in the second half of the season, we saw step points where I didn't know Steph could get to this low. You know what I mean? So yeah, we haven't seen that 35 a game ass Steph in a minute. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, maybe in the playoffs we'll see that. I ain't going to say hopefully. Fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't going to say. I love Steph, but, you know, the career Tatum. But anyway, yeah.
It's big.
You're a big Celtics fan.
No, big Tatum fan. Come on, man. Come on, man. Big Boston energy from John.
We ain't eating hot dogs around here, okay? I'm not going to the guy. You know, I like the light-skinned nigga with the fluffy curl, you feel me? That's it from St. Louis, Missouri. If he wasn't from St. Louis, it'd be fuck the Celtics, you feel me?
He's from St. Louis,
USA.
St.
Louis,
right?
USA. There we go. That's facts. Facts. Because we do not claim Missouri. You feel me?
All right. Should we talk about some non-basketball stuff?
That. I got a couple. You got hella basketball.
Shooty hoops.
That time of
Old
year.
Girl to hit us up and be like, come on now. Y'all leaning it a little bit too much. Where's the this
well,
and
I
that?
I got something for her. I got something for her. All right. Conversation has been breaking out all over my timeline, and this has become, as it is annually around this time, a big Long Beach Twitter debate. And I want to know your guys' thoughts because I feel like we're all in different spots. It's Memorial Day weekend. The summer's starting. We all got to update the wardrobe. How long do you feel like your shorts should be on your body? John?
Why you ask me?
Why don't you represent this? Why don't you represent this shorty shorts argument first?
Flat out, first off, there's a whole ass fucking shorts and thighs Instagram page that has me as the photo on that shit.
What? You need to send us a link to that shit.
Look up shorts and thighs on our IG. Shorts and thighs. It's men in shorts showing their thighs off. And it's me with some yellow shorts on, you know what I'm saying? Post it up, bro. I think, yo, bro, whatever you comfortable with. I prefer the short shorts, you know what I mean? I prefer a little tight up on it. You looking it up, Mike? Yeah. You know, I might be the first photo on that motherfucker, too. But you see it? You see it? So you know,
I love that Rhonda follows.
Oh, bro, she be liking photos that ain't mine. I don't love that. what you see over there that you like, Rhonda? Damn. But anyway, so you know how I feel with that, man. You know, I like the thigh out. I be doing these squats and shit and these deadlifts. So I ain't doing that shit for no reason.
Yeah. Well, I just like my shorts to come to like right at my knee. I don't really like them short. I mean, and I think this goes back to what I mentioned before about how being a short dude, there's certain fashionable shit I just can't do. I can't be short with short shorts. I look like Jiminy Cricket.
It'll make you look taller, though. You know what I'm saying?
It'll elongate you. I'm not going to do the short shorts.
So if you get a 5-inch inseam, you got to walk around with an umbrella and a top hat, right? Too. Is that what you're saying?
I ain't getting no 5-inch. 7-inch. Them 2 inches make it.
7-inch.
Become a demon with them 5-inch. I do like the W on my quads. My quads to show. I want that little quad meat at the bottom, that W to show. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm at with it.
I have some 5 and 7-inch inseam shorts, and I've got... I'm not John, but I've got good legs.
No, you have good legs.
I have big thighs. Yeah. But I have to say, and I think it's largely the reason I'm interested in talking about this with you guys is because I don't think the three of us have a lot of like we grew up in the 90s masculinity hangups left. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I do for sure with shorts. Like it needs to touch the top of my kneecap entirely because of when and where I grew up. If I'm wearing the 5 or 7-inch, I think about it a lot. During the day, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think about it a lot. That it's like I got a lot out there right now.
You stop in the mirror, toot it up, and that boy looking thick over there. Who is that?
And like I said, I like them to stop at the top of my knee too. And this is for sure me keeping up with the times because 1998 me, them motherfuckers was damn near down to my ankles.
Bottom of the calf.
You know what I'm saying? I have adjusted with the times as far as I'm going to adjust for sure.
That's right. That's right.
Bro, you was a little slut if you had him above the calf. You was like, what you? Yeah. You out here showing too much leg out here, Bubba. Shit, I want my shit to look like capris back in the day. You feel me?
I don't think my knees showed in public before I was like 30, before I had kids. It was, I mean, it just was, and you know, we grew up in the 90s. It was, you wore big baggy ass fucking shorts, whether you were going to the store or you were playing basketball or whatever. And it's crazy because you always think, or at least I do, because I'm interested in stuff like this. Like, what stuff are we doing in high school that's going to look as stupid as the stuff our parents did in high school? And I could never see it with the baggy stuff. I was like, this is how God intended us to wear shirts and shorts, you know?
Right.
Looking like, but that switch happened fast.
Right.
Yeah, but that switch happened fast. The kids now, I mean, the high school basketball players, they wear their shit.
They
short.
Remember when, like, I think it was volleyball players or the women, like the girl basketball players would roll their top band up. Now they do that shit, and I ain't mad at it. You know, if it's, this for me, I'm gonna be keeping this 100%. Like when I'm around the crib, I'm going to do some workout shit. Short. But if I'm being honest, if I'm going like to like a little joint, I put my little Mitchell and Ness joints on. You feel me? Like if I'm going to like an event, I don't really wear the short shorts to events. You know what I mean? I'll put on my little Lakers joints and my Raptors like Mitchell and Ness joints if I'm wearing shorts out to an event. It could, like, for the same reason you said, Mike, I think a lot. And even in my short shorts, I have liners where they're like the tights under them. So it goes well past the short. So it's an optical illusion. I don't got just leg okay. out here. You know what I mean? I ain't got leg out here.
You've negotiated a compromise mentally, with yourself. Yeah, if the air hits the middle of my thigh and I can feel it, I look down every time. Yeah, like, yeah, did my pants fall off?
What is that foreign feeling? You know what I'm saying? When tickling the thigh.
Shit. Masculinity is a prison, bro. It really is.
Facts.
You know
big
what
facts,
I mean?
Big facts.
Because it's just like, I mean, that's by if you're talking about my body, by far, my like legs is the best part of my body for sure. And I just, because of when we grew up, I could never do
I'm
it.
I'm going to keep it a
I just
stack
could never
with you.
Throw on some 5-inch inseams and parade those things.
The reason
around.
I started wearing shorter shorts was because of Radha. We were going to the beach and she was like, John, bring some shorts. I'm like, nah. We supposed to go on to Tulum. I'm like, nah, I ain't bringing no shorts. Bring some shorts, you're gonna be hot. No, I'm bringing these motherfucking Carhartt fucking khaki pants. My brother, the shit I wear here.
To Tulum.
She was like, bring some shorts. And I was like, thank God, Rod. Like, she made me feel comfortable. It was so fucking hot, I would have melted. We were, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It'd be Guardian Jones right now, you know what I mean? But yeah, so that got me more comfortable with
Dragon Basio.
Dragon Basio, there we go. But yeah, that's got me more comfortable. But yeah, it's still some. Like you said, like I found my little middle ground in between 40-year-old me and 1990s growing up as Wu-Tang fan me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Because it happened at some point. At some point, the pant leg complex did it. Like I'm playing that Assassin's Creed game set in ancient Greece. It's nothing but thighs out. No one's wearing short. No one's wearing shorts.
To the '70s. We can go to the '70s. The motherfuckers right. they was wearing, bro, sequins, bro. They talking about us, you know. The motherfuckers, bro. Y'all was experimenting way more. You know what I mean? So I mean, yeah. So about the times.
All right. The last thing I want to talk about, and I guess this could be related to getting your thighs out there in the summer, is Tyler has declared this the summer of a return to eating garbage for the sake of comfort.
Not garbage.
And I've never been more on board. Taco Bell as an entity,
gorditas
is still a
gorditas go crazy.
All right, we'll get to it. But I would just say there's never been a summer trend I was more on board with than going back to shit to fast food you used to eat.
Yes. Bro, I've got so many motherfucking good memories about Taco Bell Chalupas because there was a time when Taco Bell was the only fast food spot that was open till like 2 a.m. You know what I mean? So there was plenty of times, you know, I was fucking early 20s clubbing. Faded, you know, and we hit Taco Bell drive-thru up. I crushed some motherfucking chalupas after having a great-ass night with the homies. And I was like, yo, I'm just trying to restore that feeling, man. Chalupas made me feel good back in
made
the
day. Made you feel alive.
And they are good. And they're delicious. They're delicious trash. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm for sure this is going to be a hot boy chalupa summer for me. And everyone else, everyone else is welcome to join. We'll see you in the Taco Bell parking lot.
Oh, the drive-thru. Nah, I mean, for me, like, yeah, I did that shit in my 20s, but also that six-pack didn't go nowhere. When you know what I'm saying? Tyler, you had about 12 of them motherfucking abs, didn't you, at that point? You feel me? And that chalupa didn't hurt nothing. You feel me? That shit would whoop my ass now. Geez, so, I'll stick a gordita in every so often, for sure.
But, John, you and I are both very health conscious in the way we eat and live. Are we not doing that in order to enjoy the chalupas of our youth? Are we doing that in order to live longer without chalupas?
I'm trying to enjoy my children, my G. Like, y'all can have the chalupas, bro. I'm trying to be here a little longer so I can enjoy that shit. You feel me? Shit, them chalupas ain't going to get
right,
me
there. All right, Tyler, I'll see you at Taco Bell. I'll sneak it in.
I'll grab one here and there. You know what I'm saying? I'll grab one here and there. Holler at me.
My Taco Bell comfort food was chili cheese burritos because they were 99 cents. Mm-hmm. And I used to go to my grandparents' house and get 4 of them. Yeah. Just fucking.
You ever fucked around and got one of them Fresca tacos? Like the shits that are just like super duper fresh for whatever fucking reason? Like, Get a motherfucking Fresca taco. It's like they use a fucking type of lettuce on that shit or something that they don't use on the other shits. And that shit is so like refreshing.
Is it lime that they squeeze on that shit too? Because lime will make anything like all of a sudden be fresh. You know what I mean?
They might be, but yeah, that shit, it's different from, you know, those garbage ass soft tacos, which are still delicious. Like, when I call it garbage, I'm not insulting it, because I fucking love Taco Bell. So.
I'm gonna be honest with you too, yeah. Bro. Like, I used to eat them Jack in the Crack, we called it. Jack in the Box taco.
Jack in the Crack, the 99 cent for three tacos, and it was just straight up meat paste in there. Yeah, for sure.
Went crazy. So I can't judge a soul.
They sure did.
I've been to the depths. Yeah. Okay. I went to the underworld and grabbed me some tacos late night at times. You feel me? So
when Jack in the Box released a bacon ultimate cheeseburger and the ultimate cheeseburger, that was an event in my personal life in high school. I was like, I remember that ultimate cheeseburger commercial, and we were watching it like, it's three patties in one burger, eight slices of cheese. Man, I don't know. I can't do, but that one I can't
shout
do.
Out to,
if I get ultimate
shout
cheeseburger,
out to Wendy's too, man. Like having the bacon cheeseburger. You know, I think they had the double joints for like $1.29. When we was broke, you know, we was eating broke. We was, you know, it was broke people prices, but you didn't feel broke eating it. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate that.
I never left Wendy's. Tyler left Taco, like I left Taco Bell, but like there's some fast food people left behind. I eat at Wendy's probably at least once every 2 weeks, but probably more likely once a week. Because it's off the same shit. I finished work at midnight. Wendy's is open. The junior bacon cheeseburger still only costs $1.10.
Bro, Wendy, you can lie to yourself about being broke when you eat Wendy's. Like you get a motherfucking baked potato and some chili. You at Applebee's, bro.
Good.
You know what I'm saying? That was $2 back in the day. And you can lie to yourself like you weren't fucking scrambling when you get that combo.
I remember we would treat like going to, Captain D's? Like that shit was a sit down restaurant, nigga. We didn't get our shit to go at Captain D's. We sat down and ate at that motherfucker. So I appreciate them, you know, the middle tier short order, you know what I'm saying, restaurants, you know what I mean? Where like you could feel like, you know, I couldn't afford Applebee's and Chili's because that shit was popping back in the day, you feel me? Or TGI Fridays. But I could go to fucking Captain D's, you know what I'm saying, spend like $26 and feel like a king. You know what I mean?
Captain D's is fine dining. I don't give a fuck. Still. It's fine fast food dining, at least. They got crab cakes and actual crab shells, bro. Yeah. Like, you don't see that.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? That's
them
real restaurant
shit. Go
crazy.
You feel me? Fries delicious. Hey, man. I ain't mad at Captain D's. I'll eat some today.
That fried okra.
That fried. Bro, come on, man. Captain D's held us down, bro. Yeah. We're losing recipes.
All right, y'all.
Go ahead.
That's all.
I have no idea.
That's all the time we got for today. We'll be back, like I said, late morning Thursday for you to listen to before the first game of the finals with our predictions. And I'm sure there'll be some other nonsense that comes up between now and then. Thanks for fucking with us as always, subscribing and leaving all the comments and reviews and all that great stuff. We appreciate it. We'll see y'all on Thursday. Bye.
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 It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.